epilogue, the return to earth. Out of abysmal trance, her spirit woke, laid on the earth mother's calm, inconscient breast. She saw the green-clad branches lean above, guarding her sleep with their enchanted light, and overhead a blue-winged ecstasy fluttered from bough to bough with high-pitched call. Into the magic secrecy of the woods, peering through an emerald lattice window of leaves, in indolent skies reclined, the thinning day turned to its slow fall into evening peace. She pressed the living body of Satyavan on her body's wordless joy to be and breathe. She bore the blissful burden of his head between her breast's warm labor of delight, the waking gladness of her members' self, the weight of heaven in his limbs, a touch summing the whole felicity of things, and all her life was conscious of his life, and all her being rejoiced enfolding his. The immense remoteness of her trance had passed. Human she was once more, earth's savitry, yet felt in her illimitable change. A power dwelt in her soul, too great for earth. A bliss lived in her heart, too large for heaven. Life too intense for thought, and love too boundless for earth's emotions lit her skies of mind, and spread through her deep and happy peace of soul. All that is sacred in the world drew near to her divine passivity of mood. A marvelous voice of silence breathed its thoughts. All things in time and space she had taken for her. In her they moved, by her they lived and were. The whole wide world clung to her for delight, created for her rapt embrace of love. Now in her spaceless self, released from bounds, unnumbered years seemed moments long drawn out, the brilliant time flakes of eternity, outwingings of a bird from its bright home. Her earthly morns were radiant flights of joy. Boundless she was, a form of infinity, absorbed no longer by the moment's beat. Her spirit the unending future felt, and lived with all the unbeginning past. Her life was a dawn's victorious opening. The past and unborn days had joined their dreams. Old vanished eves and far arriving noons hinted to her a vision of prescient hours. Supine in musing bliss she lay awhile, given to the wonder of a waking trance. Half risen then, she sent her gaze around, as if to recover old sweet trivial threads, old happy thoughts, small treasured memories, and weave them into one immortal day. Ever she held on the paradise of her breast, her lover charmed into a fathomless sleep, lain like an infant spirit unaware, lulled on the verge of two consenting worlds. But soon she leaned down over her loved to call, his mind back to her with her travelling touch on his closed eyelids. Settled was her still look of strong delight, not yearning now, but large with limitless joy or sovereign last content, pure passionate with the passion of the gods. Desire stirred not its wings, for all was made an overarching of celestial rays, like the absorbed control of sky on plain, heaven's leaning down to embrace from all sides earth.
a quiet rapture, a vast security. Then sighing to her touch, the soft-winged sleep rose hovering from his flower-like lids and flew murmurous away. Awake, he found her eyes waiting for his, and felt her hands, and saw the earth his home, given back to him once more, and her made his again, his passions all. With his arms and circling hold around her locked, a living knot to make possession close, he murmured with hesitating lips her name, and vaguely recollecting wonder cried, "Whence hast thou brought me captive back, love chained to thee and sunlight's walls, O golden beam and casket of all sweetness, savitri, godhead and woman, moonlight of my soul? For surely I have travelled in strange worlds, by thee companioned, a pursuing spirit. Together we have disdained the gates of night. I have turned away from the celestial joy, and heaven's insufficient without thee. Where now has passed that formidable shape, which rose against us, the spirit of the void, claiming the world for death and nothingness, denying God and soul? Or was all a dream, or a vision seen in a spiritual sleep, a symbol of the oppositions of time, or a mind-lit beacon of significance, in some stress of darkness, lighting on the way, or guiding a swimmer through the straits of death, or finding with the succor of its ray, in a gully mid the crowded streets of chance, the soul that into the world adventure came, a scout and voyager from eternity?" But she replied, "Oh, parting was a dream. We are together. We live, O Satyavan. Look round thee and behold, glad and unchanged, our home, this forest with its thousand cries, and the whisper of the wind among the leaves, and through rifts in emerald seen the evening sky. God's canopy of blue sheltering our lives, and the birds crying for heart happiness, winged poets of our solitary reign, our friends on earth where we are king and queen. Only our souls have left death's night behind, changed by a mighty dream's reality, illumined by the light of symbol worlds and the stupendous sum itself of things, and stood at Godhead's gates, limitless, free." Then filled with the glory of their happiness, they rose, and with safe clinging fingers locked, hung on each other in a silent look. But he, with a new wonder in his heart, and a new flame of worship in his eyes, "What high change is in thee, O Savitri bright! Ever thou wast a goddess still and pure, yet dearer to me by thy sweet human part, earth gave thee, making thee yet more divine. My adoration mastered my desire, bent down to make it subject, my daring clasped, claiming by body and soul my life's estate, raptured possession, love's sweet property, a statue of silence in my templed spirit, a yearning godhead and a golden bride. But now thou seem'st almost too high and great for mortal worship. Time lies below thy feet, and the whole world seems only a part of thee. Thy presence the hushed heaven I inhabit, and thou look'st on me in the gaze of the stars. Yet art the earthly keeper of my soul, my life a whisper of thy dreaming thoughts, my moans a gleaming of thy spirit's wings, and day and night are of thy beauty part. Hast thou not taken my heart to treasure it in the secure environment of thy breast? Awakened from the silence and the sleep, I have consented for thy sake to be. By thee I have greatened my mortal arc of life, but now far heaven's unmapped infinitudes, thou hast brought me thy illimitable gift. If to fill these thou lift thy sacred flight, my human earth will still demand thy bliss. Make still my life to thee a song of joy, and all my silence wide and deep with thee. A heavenly queen consenting to his will, she clasped his feet by her enshrining hair, enveloped in a velvet cloak of love, and answered softly like a murmuring lute, "All now is changed, yet all is still the same. Lo, we have looked upon the face of God, our life has opened with divinity. We have borne identity with the Supreme and known His meaning in our mortal lives. Our love has grown greater by that mighty touch and learned its heavenly significance. Yet nothing is lost of mortal love's delight. Heaven's touch fulfills but cancels not our earth. Our bodies need each other in the same lust. Still in our breasts repeat heavenly secret rhythm, our human heartbeats passionately close. Still am I she who came to thee mid the murmur of sunlit leaves upon this forest word. I am the Madran, I am Savitri. All that I was before, I am to thee still, close comrade of thy thoughts and hopes and toils. All happy contraries I would join for thee, all sweet relations marry in our life. I am thy kingdom, even as thou art mine, the sovereign and the slave of thy desire, thy prone possessor, sister of thy soul, and mother of thy wants. Thou art my world, the earth I need, the heaven my thoughts desire, the world I inhabit, and the God I adore. Thy body is my body's counterpart, whose every limb my answering limb desires, whose heart is key to all my heartbeats. This I am, and thou to me, O Satyavan. Our wedded walk through life begins anew, no gladness lost, no depth of mortal joy. Let us go through this new world that is the same, for it is given back, but it is known, a playing ground and dwelling house of God, who hides himself in bird and beast and man, sweetly to find himself again by love, by oneness. His presence leads the rhythms of life that seek for mutual joy in spite of pain. We have each other found, O Satyavan, in the great light of the discovered soul. Let us go back, for Eve is in the skies. Now grief is dead and serene bliss remains, the heart of all our days forevermore. Lo, all these beings in this wonderful world, let us give joy to all, for joy is ours. For not for ourselves alone our spirit came, out of the veil of the unmanifest, out of the deep, immense, unknowable, upon the ignorant breast of dubious earth, into the ways of laboring, seeking men. Two fires that burn towards that parent sun, two rays that travel to the original light. To lead man's soul toward truth and God we are born, to draw the checkered scheme of mortal life into some semblance of the immortal's plan, to shape it closer to an image of God, a little nearer to the idea divine. She closed her arms about his breast and head, as if to keep him on her bosom worn forever through the journeying of the years. So for a while they stood entwined, their kiss and passion-tranced embrace, a meeting point in their commingling spirit, one forever, two-souled, two-bodied for the joys of time. Then hand in hand they left their solemn place, full now of mute, unusual memories, to the green distance of their sylvan home, returning slowly through the forest heart. Round them the afternoon to evening changed, light slipped down to the brightly slimming birds, and the birds came back ringing to their nests, and day and night leaned to each other's arms. Now the dusk shadowy trees stood close around, like dreaming spirits, and delaying night, the grey-eyed, pensive evening heard their steps, and from all points the cries and movements came of the four-footed wanderers of the night approaching. Then a human rumor rose, long alien to their solitary days, invading the charmed wilderness of leaves, once sacred to secluded loneliness, with violent breaking of its virgin sleep. Through the screen dusk it deepened still, and there neared, floating of many voices and the sound of many feet, till on their sight broke in, as if a colored wave upon the eye, the brilliant, strenuous, crowded days of man. Topped by a flaring multitude of lights, a great resplendent company arrived. Life in its ordered tumult wavering came, bringing its stream of unknown faces thronged with gold-fringed headdresses, gold-broidered robes, glittering of ornaments, fluttering of hems. Hundreds of hands parted the forest boughs, hundreds of eyes searched the entangled glades. Calm white-clad priests their grey-eyed sweetness brought, strong warriors in their glorious armor shone, the proud hooved steeds came trampling through the wood. In front King Dhumatsena walked, no more blind faltering limbs, but his far-questing eyes, restored to all their confidence in light, took seeingly this imaged outer world. Firmly he trod with monarch stepped the soil. By him that queen and mother's anxious face came changed from its habitual burdened look, which in its drooping sense of tired toil had borne the fallen life of those she loved. Her patient paleness wore a pensive glow, like evening's subdued gaze of gathered light, departing, which foresees sunrise her child. Sinking in quiet splendor of her sky, she lives a while to muse upon that hope, the brilliance of her rich receding gleam, a thoughtful prophecy of lyric dawn. Her eyes were first to find her children's forms, but at the vision of the beautiful twain, the air awoke, perturbed with scaling cries, and the swift parents, hurrying to their child, their cause of life, now who had given him breath, possessed him with their arms. Then tenderly cried Dhumatsena, chiding Satyavan, "The fortunate gods have looked on me today. A kingdom seeking came, and heaven's rays. But where wast thou? Thou hast tormented gladness with fear's dull shadow. O my child, my life, what danger kept thee for the darkening woods? Or how could pleasure in our ways forget that useless orbs without thee are my eyes, which only for thy sake rejoice at light? Not like thyself was this done, Savitri, who led not back thy husband to our arms, knowing with him beside me only his taste in food, and for his touch, evening and morn, I live content with my remaining days. But Satyavan replied with smiling lips, lay all on her, she is the cause of all. With her enchantment she has twined me round. Behold, at noon, leaving this house of clay, I wandered in far-off eternities, yet still a captive in her golden hands. I tread your little hillock called green earth, and in the moments of your transient sun, live glad among the busy works of men. Then all eyes turned their wondering looks where stood a deepening redder gold upon her cheeks, with lowered lids the noble lovely child, and one consenting thought moved every breast. What gleaming marvel of the earth or skies stands silently by human Satyavan to mark a brilliance in the dusk of eve? If this is she of whom the world has heard, wonder no more at any happy change. Each easy miracle of felicity, of her transmuting heart, the alchemy is. Then one spoke there who seemed a priest and sage, O woman's soul, what light, what power revealed, working the rapid marvels of this day, opens for us by thee a happier age. Her lashes fluttering upward, gathered in to a vision which had scanned immortal things, rejoicing human forms for their delight. They claimed for their deep childlike motherhood the life of all these souls to be her life, then falling veiled the light. Lo, she replied, awaken to the meaning of my heart, that to feel love and oneness is to live, and this the magic of our golden change, is all the truth I know or seek or sage. Wondering at her and her two luminous words, westward they turn in the fast gathering night. From the entangling verges freed they came into a dimness of the sleeping earth, and travelled through her faint and slumbering plains. Murmur and movement and the tread of men broke the night solitude. The neigh of steeds rose from that indistinct and voiceful sea of life, and all along its marchings swelled the rhyme of hooves, the chariot's homeward voice. Drawn by white manes upon a high-roofed car, in flare of the unsteady torches went, with linked hands Satyavan and Savitri, hearing a marriage march and nuptial hymn, where waited them the many-voiced human world. Numberless the stars swam on their shadowy fields, describing in the gloom the ways of light. Then while they skirted yet the southward word, lost in the halo of her musing brows, night, splendid with the moon, dreaming in heaven, in silver peace, possessed her luminous reign. She brooded through her stillness on a thought, deep guarded by her mystic folds of light, and in her bosom nursed a greater dawn.